Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You guys probably do it all on your own. You guys have nicknames amongst the team on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Any of them inappropriate that we can say?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe call signs are the same way. The background for call signs is it's a way to share camaraderie with the team, a screen roster.
This is Village, commanding officer at the Naval Air Station Pensacola, Captain Terry Shashadi, goes by the call sign Village. Yesterday during an event at the Wahoos, where they were going to give out call signs to the players. Really cool promotion. It's coming up for, what do they call it, Service Night of Service or Service Night, I forget the name of it, but that's coming up on August 18th. I want to call it Military Appreciation or Naval Appreciation, but that's not the name of it. Anyway, they're going to be honoring the Navy. They're going to be wearing these special jerseys that are NAS Pensacola jerseys with the Pelican logo on the front and their call signs on the back instead of their names. I think it's a really, really cool promotion. There were other things there, but he sat down with the team kind of beforehand, like the meeting before the meeting when he was going to do the call sign process is he sat down with them just to kind of explain about call signs, where they come from, how they get them. And, of course, they understand nicknames. You heard them joking, how many of your nicknames are appropriate? Not many.
There's kind of three ways to end up getting call signs. First way is it's a run on your name. So if you're a Smith, you're a Smitty. If you're a Gruskowski, you're a Ski or something like that. You can sometimes get a call sign from doing something silly like a single act. Like if you tripped and fell, you can be called Trippy or something along the lines of that. Or it's kind of personality related, like Happy or, just silly little call signs like that.
And there's actually a whole process, the call sign review board, where they get together, the junior officers get together, and they put up ideas, and then you kind of vote for them. And then by process of elimination, it says if you pick your own call sign, that's definitely not going to happen. If you say something, it's disqualified. They are often embarrassing. They are often meant to be, reminders of something that you did wrong. There's always layers to the story as well. And then they have to be signed off by the CO just to make sure there's nothing super inappropriate there. I mean, not that, aviators would ever. Anyway, but he says, and when you get it, you have it forever.
So here's another thing about call signs. Once you get a call sign, you're stuck with it. When I ended up getting my call sign, so I was a junior officer in the squadron. I was 3 months in the squadron. And again, I won't tell the whole story of it. It's nothing inappropriate or anything like that. But I ended up, I got my call sign and I walked in to do my job and I looked at a buddy and I'm like, dude, do you think Village is gonna stick? And he looked at me and he was like, dude, order your embroidered flight suit and your coffee mug right now. Because once you get a call sign and you accept it and they accept you with that call sign, that's yours. And for the most part, it's yours for life. So you end up putting it on everything, whether it's a coffee mug, your flight suit, your helmet bag, my visor cover, all of those things you end up putting your call sign on, because that's my call sign. It's kind of like I actually, I not only do I not mind, but when I introduce myself, I usually end up saying, yeah, Captain Shashadi, I go by Village.
He goes by Village, and that's just the way you're known, and it's easy. In fact, I know a lot of the aviators who, they don't even know sometimes the people's real names. They could maybe figure it out, but they know call signs for everybody because that's how they refer to everybody, especially in combat when you need to make quick communications with people in a situation where nobody's a senior over anybody else. You just have to get the job done. That's a way of doing it. So then what they did is he went through and did a call sign assignment process with the guys. And they, some of them already have like sort of nicknames. The manager, his nickname is Smoke, and they had him up there to Smoke. And, well, it's going to be Smoke. And it's going to be, okay, well, there's not much of a story there. So he sat back down. Good guy, by the way, 20 years as a Marlin. Got a chance to talk to him briefly. But, some of the other players, they went through this process, and it was kind of entertaining. The whole video is up on our Facebook page if you want to watch it. It's about a half hour long. I'm going to play a little bit of one or two of these call signs here in a second. John Pickens is sitting in for Candy this morning with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping, celebrating 40 years in business on the Gulf Coast. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident in front of Pace High School. It's got the roadway blocked. They're doing an investigation that involved a patrol car. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Highway 90 looking good right now. That's a look at traffic on your fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. So back to the assignment of call signs. This was, again, Tereshetty Village is helping them figure out call signs. Zach Williman was the third person that they had up there to do it.
Let's start off. What's your name and what position and where are you from?
Zach Williman from Ohio. Pitcher.
Pitcher.
Really pitcher.
All right. I dig the hairstyle. I'm getting
it's coming in pretty
bald.
Nice.
It's good. Crystal! All
right. So, now, usually when you have, when they're this quick to start throwing out some names, that's actually a good sign in a way, because it means you kind of get out there and you're a vocal individual. So we got three eyes. Is that what I just heard?
Pretty eyes.
Pretty eyes. Pretty eyes. Pretty eyes. Let's see. He sure does. those are pretty eyes. That is definitely. Oh, let's hear the story.
Yeah,
I know.
Story.
I don't know if it's a tell story.
It's not inappropriate.
No, no, no.
And it's
no,
good
it's
job.
Not inappropriate.
Well, there's a mom that camera's rolling. There's a mom that came down to the bullpen, was trying to chat with us, and
about
things. And she goes, oh my God, you got pretty eyes. And she kept calling me pretty eyes the whole time.
Pretty eyes.
So that's the story behind that.
So pretty eyes, three syllables. Usually that won't make the mark unless we end up coming up with a shorter way to end up saying it. But pretty eyes seems like the right way to end up going. Let's see. What's that?
That's probably inappropriate.
Okay, good. High fives. So pretty eyes. What else? Anything else out there? Seems like there was a couple.
What does John got?
Oh, you.
What do you think? I think Pretty Eyes is just it, because it was like before you even stepped up here that ended up getting called out. So Pretty Eyes, I think it is.
Pretty Eyes.
And that lady, when she sees that on the back of your jersey, she's going to be like, I named him.
Pretty Eyes.
Well, pretty nice. Nice to meet you, Bill.
See, I just think that's and my favorite part about this is, do you hear how they're all laughing and joking and having fun with each other? Like, that is essential to a good baseball team, being able to just relax and have fun. And of course they are. And that shows a good, just kind of a, team culture has been established there. I'll give you one more here. This was Kobe Fletcher. This one's a little bit shorter. It's not quite as long as that one. Because as you get going, you start to get better at it, and it starts to resolve itself a little bit quicker.
All right, so tell me about yourself.
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yep.
Went to University of Alabama.
Yep.
It's my second year with the
Marlins. My son's going to go up to Alabama for a tour.
I'm hoping
he doesn't like it.
He's going to love it. He's got to love it.
He's going tomorrow.
So let's go.
All right, so tell me a couple things. Like, well, let's get into the group. What do you guys got on him? How long have you been on the team?
Silky mitts.
Silky mitts?
Silky
mitts.
Like soft hands.
Mitts. Okay, sure.
That's a nice call sign right there. Silky mitts.
Yeah,
it's almost too nice, but we'll that's up there. Silky, just silky.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. What else we got? That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that may blow up his head a little bit, but
no,
that may
sir,
be a
can't
good
can't happen. All right, hey.
What else you got? Silky mitts.
Right, so big.
What is it?
Bagger. Yeah.
Why?
Bagger Vance.
There it is.
A legend.
Like the legend of Bagger Vance.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, is that a self-given call sign, or is that?
That's Dave.
So the call sign's done. Dave ended up giving the call sign. Does everybody approve that call sign? Is it Silky or Bagger?
It's Bagger.
Bagger? Bagger it is. Bagger, nice to meet you, man.
Because the player name is Kobe Fletcher Vance. So Bagger is a really good nickname for him. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. The other thing that happened yesterday that I wasn't expecting, I knew about the call sign thing, that's why I showed up, but the other thing that I wasn't expecting is they're doing a promotion on that same night, a first-of-its-kind promotion where they're going to have bobbleheads for Ted Williams in his Bronson Bombers jersey that he played in the Navy here in Pensacola wearing. they had to get with the family and get their approval. They get with the Navy to get their approval. There was all kinds of layers of getting this done. And so the first 1,000 people are going to get a Ted Williams bobblehead. Now, the Red Sox had done Ted Williams bobbleheads before, but this is the first of its kind for anybody who's played Navy ball, which, of course, he did back in the war. And he wanted to actually get into combat instead. And, Village kind of talked about that a little bit, but, just kind of an interesting first of its kind thing to be done here in Pensacola with relation to the history of Pensacola when Ted Williams was here as an aviator where he got his wings of gold.
Really, really
Anthony
cool.
Has something unique, just came in, he wanted to show you.
Fresh off the bus.
Oh, nice. Oh,
they sweet. Just got the bobbleheads and we were there.
They just showed up today. So this is awesome. So we were talking about Ted Williams earlier today. This is a Ted Williams bobblehead wearing his Bronson jersey, the Bronson Bombers jersey, because he played baseball for the Navy down here. When are you guys giving these away?
Same night, August
18th. So August 18th, they're going to be the Blue Wahoos are going to be giving out the Ted Williams bobble in commemoration for the not only the history and service that he ended up having, both in the Navy and for the whole country when it comes down to playing some also awesome baseball throughout his career. But that is a pretty, pretty cool bobblehead. So Ted Williams, Bronson Bombers bobblehead. That's awesome that you guys ended up getting this.
That is cool. I learned history. I didn't know that Veterans Memorial Park used to be a baseball field. I didn't know that. And also, just as a side note, so he was giving out the call signs, in conjunction with them. I mean, he was facilitating the process. When he left, they still had about, 20 players to give out call signs to. So they were kind of doing it amongst themselves. And, this is kind of what it sounded like as they were doing it for themselves. It was just fun to hear them have so much fun.
Any blackout.
Okay. Chandler.
Jaws.
Jaws.
I know.
Chandler's Jaws.
MP, are you Doc?
Yep. Doc.
Barry.
So just, I don't know. It was a really neat, slice of insight into the kind of locker room behavior and culture that the Wahoos have, and it was obviously fun to see them get their call signs and for the skipper to be able to explain that process to them. I don't know, it was a really neat event. I was glad I attended that yesterday. 8:22 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and if you need any kind of heating or air conditioning or electrical or plumbing service done, Pete, and they're the ones that they will take care of you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. So you know when you pick up the phone and call them, they're going to take care of it right the first time. Right now, they've got some specials going on this month of August, $29 AC inspections. And if you sign up for Pete and Smart Care, the membership is $35 a month for the maintenance plan that gets your routine maintenance, including priority scheduling over non-members, a 15% discount on repairs and upgrades, 5% discount on major replacement and after hours, and your emergency services fees are waived. So if there's an event, you go to the front of the line. $1,000 off a Briggs & Stratton whole home generator with 0% financing, and $1,000 off water filtration system installations, and the water test is, of course, free. So if you need any of that work done for anything in that vicinity, Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, and Plumbing, find them online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing how the ProHealth Medical Membership Program can help you regarding the stress and cost of healthcare. That's tomorrow at 10:30 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
But what we found out is that each one of us is a brain.
And an athlete.
And a basket case.
A princess.
And a criminal.
Morning, 8:25, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Candy's out today. She'll be back tomorrow. John Pickens is sitting in. 26-year veteran. Cat Country, our news department, and all kinds of, don't hold against me as wearing an Ole Miss shirt. It's fine. We can tolerate. tell us about traffic on the fives, John.
Traffic is brought to you by Mattress Firm. The wait to sleep great is over. It's Black Friday now at Mattress Firm. Save up to $500 on select Mattress Firm from Tempur-Pedic, Stearns, and Foster, and Sealy. Visit Mattress Firm today. Still dealing with that accident in front of Pace High School that's blocked up traffic. So if you're trying to get into Pace High School or out of it, you're going to be stuck for a while. It was an officer-involved crash. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Going into the newsroom now, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump set to be arraigned tomorrow in Washington, D.C. on four counts related to alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The introduction to the 45-page indictment alleges Trump was determined to remain in power despite having lost the election and being aware. There's a new law in Louisiana requiring every public school classroom in the state to display a printed poster that reads, "In God We Trust." The law, one of a number that took effect this week. The law says schools can spend their spend money on the posters or they can be donated. And the Mega Millions jackpot, no winner after Tuesday's drawing. The jackpot now estimated up to $1.25 billion, getting up into record jackpot territory.
All right. And you're still buying one as your retirement plan, right?
Well, of course, which means I'll never retire. I'm here forever. You're stuck with me, Andrew.
It's kind of like you plan to work forever.
That's right. That's right.
I don't mean to second guess, you know. 8:27 here on News Radio 92.3 and informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Oh, man, I don't think I have time to do that right now. God, I have a story that every time I come to it, I don't have time to really do that properly, so I have to come back to it a little bit. This is kind of an odd little, it's the kind of story that, like, it makes you really think about what your principles are about things like religious freedom and protection of expression and what's offensive. Denmark has been dealing with the problem of, apparently, you know, people have been burning Qurans, okay, near the foreign embassies. And, of course, the countries that are Islamic-run are very angry about this, like furious about this, because to them, you know, desecrating a Quran, even, you know, spitting on it, putting it on the ground, anything like that is a sacrilege, right? As you know, the Quran is the Quran is the embodiment of God here on earth in text, like especially if it's in Arabic, that really is like you're offending God, essentially. And so they take that very seriously. Very, very seriously. What's interesting is Denmark is now seeking to make a law against desecrating a Quran or other religious holy books in front of foreign embassies. So not everywhere, but just specifically in those places. The problem is that desecrating a Quran, burning a Quran, something like that, that's not something, you know, I would do. But desecration, if it's viewed that way, or sacrilege, is an important religious expression by people who disagree with that religion or who reject religion altogether. The sort of right to desecrate a sacred object or something that's sacred to others is sort of fundamental to fully allowing people to disagree over what's sacred. You know, because if you could, for example, just burn a book, you know, as a protest, but you can't burn a Quran, well, that's a way of Denmark saying, well, the Quran really is special. You know, that's a way of them protecting that unique thing. Now, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to avoid, you know, incendiary, not to borrow on terminology, but, you know, fighting words type speech behavior. But the idea that you protect people in doing that which you consider awful, particularly in the realm of religion, is an important part of religious freedom, though we might hate it. Of course, also, Muslims have a difficult time comprehending the idea that a government is separate from the people, is separate from their behaviors. And as far as Americans go, you know, burning a flag is like the closest we'd come. But I'm telling you, for Muslims, the Quran is way worse than even something like that.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump on social media thanks everyone for their support after his third criminal indictment.
Trump is due in federal court tomorrow to be arraigned on these new charges brought by special counsel Jack Smith in connection to the investigation into January 6th and election interference. Now, these charges include conspiracy to defraud the U.S., conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights.
Fox's Brooks Singman. Stocks start the day lower after the Fitch Credit Rating Agency downgrades the United States' credit rating from AAA to AA+.
The agency citing rising debt at the federal, state, and local levels. Fitch also says there's been a steady deterioration in standards of governance over the past two decades.
Fox's Tom Rigotti. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen calls the downgrade arbitrary and based on outdated data. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 82 degrees right now, mostly sunny in Pensacola this morning. A Pensacola man has been arrested, accused of sexually assaulting a young girl in his care. 42-year-old T'Challa Pierce being held with no bond, accused of abusing a victim several times over a five-year period. And according to an arrest report, those incidents started back in 2015. The victim was 14 years old. Pierce was reportedly her caregiver and was living in the same home with her when those assaults started. The victim tells investigators Pierce made her drink alcohol as a punishment prior to assaulting her. Investigators say the last incident took place in 2019. The victim came forward June of this year. Well, the director of the National Hurricane Center says it hasn't been a terribly active storm season so far, but he says it's not the time to let our guard down.
Even though things might seem relatively quiet right now, that's not that unusual for late July and early August, but we do tend to see that ramp up in activity as we head through August, September, and then even lasting well into October, and then tailing off typically as we get late into the season.
Dr. Michael Brennan says an updated seasonal forecast will be released later on this month. For now, they're still calling for a near normal season. Pensacola's mayor says there's still a lot of things to learn about the new SB 102. That's the Live Local bill that could potentially preempt local governments from enforcing ordinances that stifled the creation of affordable housing.
I know that there's even some language that's being kind of promoted amongst the rulemaking and all of that, that we'll take a look at. I was able to be at a meeting with some of the Florida Housing Finance folks last week and got as updated a brief on 102 as we can get, which still, you know, again, includes some unknowns.
And Reeves says the city's had a few conversations so far about potential impacts of the bill, but he says it's too early to take any actions based on the unknowns of that legislation. Now, the investigation continuing into several recent acts of anti-Semitic vandalism around town. And Police Chief Eric Randall had a message to send to the perpetrators yesterday. He said, "We will catch you."
This is very serious. You know, you put people in fear for the actions that you're taking to try to promote some type of vision or ideology that you have. So we're using every tool in our toolbox to find the person or persons responsible. And we will use every aspect of the law to prosecute the individuals involved.
And the latest incident was reported yesterday. Police say swastikas were spray painted on the side of a building on Palafox. In earlier cases, a road sign was tagged with swastikas and bricks were thrown through windows into two different synagogues. And that was all just in recent weeks here. Governor Ron DeSantis says he wants to end the weaponization of government. He made those comments yesterday after the news broke that former President Donald Trump had been indicted for his alleged role in the January 6th riots. And DeSantis says he hasn't read the indictment, but He says reforms are needed so Americans can remove cases from Washington, D.C. and move them to their home districts. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that involved a patrol car at Pace Patriot Boulevard and Pace Road, a.k.a. Pace High School. Seeing some major delays there. So if you're trying to get in or out of Pace High School, you're going to have some major issues. Hayes Street and North T Street has a vehicle crash with a roadblock there, so be careful and avoid that area. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 right now. That's a look at the traffic on your fives.
This is going to be another hot day today. Temperatures near 98 degrees, feeling much warmer with a 10% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Temperatures drop slightly on Thursday with a high near 94 as more rain builds in. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 82 in Pensacola, 84 in Gulf Breeze, and 78 in Milton. Your money now. The market's taken a big hit this morning after that Fitch downgrade on the U.S. credit rating. The Dow down 167.68 at 35.463. The S&P 500 down 39.52 at 45.37.21. The NASDAQ down 179.24 at 14.104.76. Bed Bath & Beyond is back, kind of. Overstock.com is now Bed Bath & Beyond after buying its intellectual property for $21.5 million during their bankruptcy filing. And when you search for either Bed Bath & Beyond or Overstock online, you're now taken to the same landing page where both companies' logos are displayed. Brick-and-mortar locations for Bed Bath & Beyond, such as our store at the Cordova Mall, though, are not going to be reopening. Private employers in the U.S. hired 324,000 workers last month, greatly exceeding market expectations of 189,000. That, according to the ADP report released this morning, most of those jobs in the service industry. And TweetDeck has a new name. It's now called X Pro. It's part of the rebranding of Twitter to X. The company's X handle is at Pro instead of at TweetDeck. But many parts of the tool still refer to Twitter and to TweetDeck. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Oh. Idiot.
Food fight!
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, John, this is your first time sitting on the show producing. I sit in for Candy this morning. And yeah. Your first frivolous topic.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. that doesn't sound good.
No pressure. It's only the most popular thing we do.
All right.
437-1620, 437-1620. Tell me about the thing you bought that you regret because you don't use it or it just turned out to be terrible compared to what you expected it to be. 437-1620, 437-1620. What's the thing you bought that you regret because you just don't ever use it, so it's just total waste of money, or that just completely failed to live up to your expectations? I'll start with me.
Okay.
Okay, give you the second thing. I hate to admit this. These are all going to be painful, but I own a guitar. Oh. It is the guitar of condemnation. It's really kind of a cool story because I was going to, I thought, oh, this is cool. I'll learn how to play a guitar. And I was out at the instrument shop. This is back in St. Louis, and I'm buying it. And I wound up meeting this guy who's an artist at the time, and we got to talking. And he's like, oh, that's a pretty good guitar. Do you have an electrical pickup for him? I'm like, no. And he's like, here, you can have mine. And so he gave me this electrical pickup for an acoustic guitar. And I took a class at the community college, and I have not really touched it since. And I've so want to learn, so want to be. I don't have the right fingers for it, but I know anybody can learn. I feel the guiltiest about anything I own about the guitar I can't get rid of it. I have to, at some day when I have all this free time, then, when I'm 80, I will definitely learn it. So that's my own personal one, the musical instrument, 437-1620. Do you have one that comes to mind, John?
The only thing I can really think of is a Windows computer. I'm a Mac guy.
You're a Mac guy? I'm sorry.
And I know.
Ole Miss and Mac. Two strikes. All right, go ahead.
I know. We're almost. But anyway, it really, I was unimpressed. I mean, I got it for Flight Simulator, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh, all right,
run that. But you just wasn't impressed with all you have to do to do this.
You don't speak
that.
The language. I understand. I have the same exact problem. Okay, so you tried to buy a Windows computer and it just didn't work out for you. All right, fair enough. 437-1620. Somebody says the thing I most regret buying is my ex-wife.
Oh, I wasn't going to say it.
Like, divorce is not a joking matter, but it sort of is. Like a lot of things that are important, they can also be matters of humor. But man, I can't relate, but I understand, where you're coming from. 437-1620. Somebody here says, I regret buying a water pick. It's like putting a fire hose in my mouth. My wife uses one of those, and she loves it. She swears by it.
Water doesn't go everywhere?
I don't know. I try to get out of the bathroom by the time she's cleaning her teeth because it is a little bit like, and it's spewing everywhere and whatnot. And, I just don't like to think of her mouth that way. It's a place of happiness for me, and that doesn't look like happiness to me. 437-1620. We seem to be on a theme here. Somebody else says, my first marriage license. That was the thing I regret buying the most.
This is a theme.
Wow. Yeah. What did we do to encourage that? I didn't mean, David, you look like you want to weigh in. Is that a let me on the mic? No. Okay. All right. I thought you were, David was kind of looking at me wistfully and I didn't know if he had one. Timeshare. Oh
yes.
Oh, let me tell you about timeshares. No. My family had, they had theirs. We got a good honeymoon in Hawaii because of a timeshare my mom owned. But my grandma had two. And when she passed away, it fell to me to resolve that.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in my life that I have ever had to handle that is as awful as the process of trying to get rid of a timeshare.
Yes.
Two of them. And I would 100% recommend you never, ever, 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 ever,
ever.
I mean, there's no a number of evers that's enough for me to recommend against that. Even though, like I said, I benefited from it. And even so, having benefited from it. Oh, somebody here says, somebody bought a timeshare. what about exercise equipment?
I just don't purchase it.
Oh, well, yeah. So that's the way you solve that problem is you just don't buy
it. I just don't do it.
I do. I have a jump rope.
Okay. Here's a topic I can chime in on.
All right, go on.
No, I love having, I've got a nice weight set at home, and I love it because it's tough to find time to get to the gym.
So when do you, while you're watching TV? Just do it in your home?
Yeah, I used to have a
not
dedicated
that I'm implying
area.
How I would exercise, but go ahead.
I used to have a nice dedicated whole, room set up for
it. I gotcha.
My family has grown, so I don't have that kind of space anymore. Now I'm confined out in the backyard, but
That sounds about right.
But it's still, you know, it's nice, you know, for me, like, you know, you can just walk outside or whatever and, you know, get your workout in. And,
your man cave is a ditch in the backyard.
Yeah,
I got
pretty
you.
Much.
All
exactly.
right, fair enough.
Sounds about right.
437-1620. I regret buying cat snacks for the stray cat in the neighborhood. Now we have all kinds of cats.
You're right.
The one told their friends and the family that we have the food, and so now
and
I regret. No good deed goes unpunished. No, that's for certain. Yeah, the exercise equipment would definitely be one for me, which I don't even... Don't even buy.
But, I don't even go to that part of the store.
I mean, why bother? You're not marketing to me.
That's
why, and I will tell you this, okay? If you ever hear me advertising for, like, you know, I don't know, a fitness place.
Right.
I mean, you'll know it's a lie. You can know 100% that is, or I have had some kind of, like, you know, come to Jesus epiphany, life-altering experience. I got knocked off of my mount on the way to Damascus, and God changed my life and made me believe in exercise. But unless that happens, if you hear me, you know, promoting exercise, equipment, nutrition, any of that kind of stuff, you know, something, it's a lie or something horrible has happened in my life. 8:46 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens again sitting in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on Pace Patriot Boulevard right in front of Pace High School, causing delays for band and football people trying to get into Pace High School. Also, another accident that with roadblock is Hayes Street and North T Street. And we just had one pop up at Blakely Avenue and Talbert Street and Guerrero Street. That's cross street. No roadblock there, but it's a hit and run, so we've got onlookers. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate that, John. Hey, if you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, it really is comprehensive, great place to buy good quality vehicles. And, you know, one of the things I love about them, I use the word, you know, they serve the Pensacola community. And if you hear me say that, you might think, oh, sure, you know, that's a fine thing. I pay attention to my words. I use words on purpose. I'm a philosopher. That's what I'm trained to do. So when I say that, I mean that. I'll give you an example, okay? I had a friend who she was telling me the other day. She had an almost new car, got into a major wreck outside of the area while traveling on vacation. It took $20,000 of repairs to fix it, you know, so insurance was covering the repairs. But somebody put a bug in her ear and said, you know, you ought to look into diminished value. Because reselling a car that's been heavily damaged and repaired is not the same as reselling a car that's never been heavily damaged. She said, oh, that makes sense. So all they did was they took the bills that the insurance company paid for the, you know, repairs and sent them to Frontier. And Frontier said, yeah, that would be worth about $5,000 less if you ever try to sell it. Sent that to the insurance company, and they cut her a side check for $4,800 to pay off the diminished value. Now, what did Frontier have to do with that? Nothing. They didn't sell her with a car or anything like that. But that was something that they offered as a service, and that's the kind of thing. Like, they're available to help in all kinds of different ways when it comes to cars, car value, insurance claims, you know, used vehicles, any of that kind of stuff. So if you're looking for that next vehicle, this is why I talk about Frontier. They have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing Summer Restaurant Week, Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Open for Lunch, Jackson's and Julia, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at nervivehealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
And I would have succeeded if it hadn't been for these meddling kids.
Hopefully we'll get a decision if we get bumped up to first place for the red light on the corner of Magnolia and Stewart. There was kind of some wheeling and dealing going on there, and if we were willing to do some things, we were in third, that we could come up to first. So I'm hoping that they'll go ahead and allow us to do that, because that's very important we get a light there.
Yeah, this was Roxanne Meeks talking during the city council meeting on Monday. They actually did business before they got into the utter chaos of the all the consternation over the city clerk, and they talked a little bit about the manager search for a new city manager. But one of the things that came up was they've been trying to get a traffic light at Stewart and Magnolia Street in Milton. And now, John, you live in that area. Do you know that intersection?
Yes,
is it terrifying?
It is.
Okay. So it needs to be done, which is all what the data says. FDOT says that's great, but it's not going to be cheap. And it's interesting, the price tag on this is crazy. Like, you wouldn't think it would be so much, but...
As had been indicated at a previous meeting, that cost is approximately $1.2 or $1.3 million.
What?
For a stop?
And the time consumed is not insignificant. The discussions...
Is that total or our part?
That would be the portion... We would advance fund the project. So we would incur that cost.
And yeah, John, as you were right to ask, are you really?
Right.
Why would some right-of-way acquisition?
Okay.
It's the land needed, is what I remember Randy saying before, the city manager, is it's the land needed in order to put in the traffic light, because they would have to expand what they own around the intersection in order to put in the metal structures that hold the traffic light. And that's what's going to make it cost that, and a lot of time acquiring the right-of-way and all of that. So yeah, 1.2 to 1.3 million. Now, the way I think I understand what they're trying to accomplish is that there's a pot of money for certain things, and there are three projects that are on the top of that list, but the top two projects both cost more than the available money for this certain category. Mm-hmm. And so what they're hoping to do is persuade the Transportation Planning Organization to say, well, with the money we have, we can't do one, we can't do two, but it would more than cover the cost of this one, which is currently third. Can it get bumped up? Because it's actually a doable.
Right.
And so that seems to be, you know, that's kind of the fingers crossed hope that the city of Milton can get that done. Also, and I know, look, I know we focus a lot on the warts in the city of Milton in terms of the government. I mean, utterly dysfunctional seems like an understatement. But, you know, at least the political side of it. And then that's spilled over now into the, you know, actual functionality of the government. But there are still good news notes. And Gavin Hawthorne, who's really into the sports and helping the kids, the athletes and stuff, he had a really cool news note the other day.
The Little League, City of Milton football, Johnny Norton just ordered 39 helmets. That's huge. That's safety for the kids that's wanting to play. We have Wayne Rushing and Marcellus that presented a presentation to Johnny Norton for uniforms, and the entire city of Milton, all age groups are getting new uniforms, pants, uniforms, tops, new decals on helmets, new stripes on helmets. City of Milton, we're going to look good and we're going to play well. So I'm very excited for those kids, and they're going to look good, and this is going to make them very excited to play well.
That's just, I mean, I just think that's really cool. Yeah.
I coach the city of Milton football teams.
Oh, neat.
So I know the struggle. I know it.
Yeah.
And the need for the equipment. That is so awesome.
Did you know this was happening?
No, I did not.
Hey, look, I broke news to the coach.
You did.
Sorry. I mean, you know.
But it's awesome, though.
No, isn't that great? Those kids are going to freak out.
I know. I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I'm not even wearing it.
Oh, man, that's so cool. I did not know you coached in there.
Yeah,
so, you know,
baseball, football.
Oh, neat. You learn stuff about your coworkers all the time. I love that. 437-1620, 437-1620. I saw this story the other day, and it just kind of, it's not really a news thing so much as a did you know, and I found it fascinating. You know the 101st Airborne, the Screaming Eagle patch. If you own a patch, you want a Screaming Eagle patch. The Airborne, that, you know, that black background with the bald eagle, and you know, the Screaming Eagle's name is Old Abe.
Old Abe.
Old Abe is the name of the eagle. In 1861, before the Civil War, a member of the Ojibwe tribe captured a young eaglet. Uh-huh. It was only a few months old. Kept it as a pet. How he caught it, still we're not sure, but they say anyway, traded it to the McCanza family of Wisconsin settlers, and when the war started, the father of that family sold it to a band of recruits from Eau Claire. This is a story, okay? Captain John Perkins, the company commander, named him Old Abe after President Lincoln, commissioned a special Union Shield perch for the bird and assigned one of his troops to look after that bird that came into their possession somehow or other. Old Abe became the official mascot of Company C, 8th Wisconsin Volunteer Infantry Regiment, nicknamed the Eagles. They were in the fighting in the Western Theater, and Old Abe went into combat with the men of the 8th across Missouri, Mississippi, and Louisiana, from Vicksburg to the Red River. Had some close calls, but the Eagle survived. Okay, came out of the war unscathed. The Civil War ended long after he had gone home. They presented him to the state of Wisconsin, so he became a ward of the state, which created a special apartment for Old Abe inside the state capitol building. He was famous around the country. His presence was requested at Civil War veterans reunions, the Grand Army of the Republic, events, and 1876 Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Old Abe served for Wisconsin again in February of 1881. There was a fire that broke out in the capitol. The Eagle raised the alarm of the fire at the Capitol building, letting fire brigades know there was a problem. But unfortunately, Abe perished from inhalation of smoke and died a month later. Veterans came as pallbearers at his funeral for the Eagle. That is the airborne patch.
Wow.
Instead of burying him, the governor had him stuffed and perched in a permanent spot inside the Capitol Rotunda in Madison, Wisconsin. Remains were moved to a few locations between the 1880s and 1903, eventually found his way back to the original location. The Capitol then caught fire in 1904, destroying him and the glass case. So he died in a fire, raising the alarm, and then his body was destroyed long after in another fire at the Capitol. So I just thought that was a wild and fascinating story. That so every time you see the airborne patch, now you'll know that's Old Abe. You'll know what happened to him, how widespread his fame was, and now, of course, you know how he perished, unfortunately.
Right.
8:57 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens got traffic for you.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. For more information or a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still looking at that accident that happened in front of Pace High School. It's blocking traffic both ways. So if you're trying to get in and out of Pace High School, there's going to be some major delays there. And also Blakely Avenue and Guerrero Street. No roadblock there, but we're still seeing some minor backups on the hit and run crash. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. I read this article the other day. It was in Defense Home, which is one of my favorite military websites. And It was raising a question because they were talking about the Afghanistan withdrawal and how, you know, Bagram would have been a much better place, more suited for that, as we all know. And it was catastrophic what happened when they tried to go out of the airport. The State Department believed the airport would be more comfortable. But that's not the purpose of the article, not what I took away from it. What I took away from it was an idea that there was a guy named Chris Kalendas, retired Army colonel and an adjunct senior fellow at the Center for New American Security. He said that, you know, what we really should be thinking about is future wars. We're pretty good at knowing how to get into a war. We're pretty good at knowing how to prosecute a war to some degree, yes and no, depending on the circumstances. The problem is we don't know how to end a war. And we really ought to work on developing a doctrine for warfare cessation, withdrawal, that whole process. The military just doesn't have one. The State Department doesn't have it. So I just thought it was a very interesting observation. I know a lot of you are in the military, former military, that listen, and just the kind of thing that you go, oh, yeah, that that really makes sense. And so I thought I'd share that with you. All right, 8:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Time for, where is I got to find it in here? There we go. Future news. That's when we talk about the things that are going to happen before they happen. We make the truth before it's true. John Pickens in here with me today. John, the big news of the day, of course, the charges against President Trump. Do you think he winds up getting convicted on any of these charges?
No.
Man, it's hard. I also think probably no. But, you know, goodness, they're the most serious ones that I have seen yet, I would say. Will NOAA back off of their regulations for boating because of the complaints against those rules?
No.
Yeah, I would also like to say yes, but I think the answer is going to be no.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Police in Atmore are looking for a suspect in a fatal shooting last week. We'll have more on that story after this update from Fox News.
Yet from President Biden. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. After the third indictment of his potential rival in a 2024 rematch, former President Trump, who calls the new case ridiculous, claiming he's a target of election interference.
We haven't even gotten a White House statement, and it's possible we may not get one, even as Republicans accuse the administration of using the Justice Department to target its biggest political opponent.
Fox's Mark Meredith in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, where President Biden is vacationing. A Trump lawyer, John Lauro, tells Fox the new indictment's an attack on free speech.
We are on uncharted territory. We are in a constitutional abyss right now.
Special Counsel Jack Smith, who's already charged the former president in the classified documents case, levied four new charges related to the Capitol riot.
It was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
The Trump arraignment will be tomorrow. Iran's doing military drills in the Persian Gulf, reacting to the thousands of U.S. troops headed to the region in reaction to Iran's attempts to seize oil tankers. A U.S. soldier's been killed in Germany, but not in combat.
The U.S. military says an army soldier was in an armored vehicle when it was hit by a semi-truck. The member of the 2nd Cavalry Regiment was treated by civilian medics before being taken to a local hospital, where he was pronounced dead. The Army says no other soldiers were injured.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. A win in federal court for pro-choice advocates.
Idaho's abortion law makes it illegal to perform or attempt to perform an abortion and made it a crime for healthcare professionals to assist to refer pregnant women seeking abortions to out-of-state providers. A federal judge has ruled that that part of the law would